Open the door and step inside to a world of practical magic, where we blend the mystical and mundane worlds of the everyday witch. Presented by Wise Woman Witchery and hosted by Emily Morrison and Veronica Wade Lewis. Welcome to The Witch Next Door. I'm Emily.
I'm Veronica.
And we are going on another trip this week, the virtual kind, you know, where we all get to go together. So pack
somewhere
your bags.
Different.
Different. Somewhere different. We're going to get a little change of scenery. So, you know, pack your bags, use your imagination. Let's go check out another vortex.
Do, 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 do.
The sound effects, they're good. They're good.
Yeah.
So this week I want to talk about Mount Shasta, like the mountain that is actually an active volcano. It's so cool. It's here in Northern California. And I actually have been there a lot because for those of you that don't know, and that's probably all of you, my husband and I used to be really into Volkswagen buses and pre-1967 Volkswagen buses, to be specific.
And split window.
Split. You got it. See, Veronica knows the lingo. Split window buses. And we would every year go on this trip called the Shasta Snow Trip. You can YouTube that if you would like to see what kind of crazy shenanigans we used to get up to. You probably will see a flying bus. And that was not us. We never flew our bus, just for the record, which entailed leaping. I actually completely rubbed all the paint off of the bucket for the headlight one year because I was so scared I kept hitting the brake, even though I was on the passenger side.
Oh my gosh.
It's a crazy back roads adventure, but it ended in Mount Shasta, the town, Mount Shasta City. And so we were there all the time, and it is a really cool place with a really cool vibe. Have you been there, Veronica?
I have. I've passed through there a lot driving
to Medford,
Southern Oregon, to Medford to see my mom. But
yeah.
So I've stopped at that town you're speaking of to get food and, you know, a snack or gas or something. But it has a different feel to it. That town, I should say, particularly.
Did you ever walk around or just go to the market?
I just went to the market. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it just felt a little strange. like a mountain town sometimes can be.
Yes. Know? Yeah. So definitely mountain town vibes. It's definitely, you know, there's people are living the mountain life. So there's a lot of trucks and there's snow and, you know, they get all the seasons up there. It's beautiful. The country's beautiful.
So beautiful.
It's surprising when the first time I went there walking through town, I didn't know anything about Mount Shasta. And I was like, ooh, crystal shop. Ooh, another crystal shop. What is happening here?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And I learned that it is sort of this center for a lot of people who believe the mountain has healing properties. And I'll talk about some of the different reasons people think that, the reasons. But I will say that just in and of itself, it is an extremely beautiful, beautiful mountain. And the energy of just being at the base of something like that is so profound. And I feel this like when I go to Washington and go see the Cascades and whatnot, there is just this vibe about mountains that's really powerful.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But an active volcano.
Right?
That's pretty intense.
What the what? An active volcano. I know we were joking about, well, we weren't joking. We were seriously talking, having a fantasy moment about, oh, we should get a cabin here and this will be our vacation home. You know, like we could afford a vacation home. Like, again, fantasy. But I don't think I would want to live somewhere that there was an active volcano.
Yeah. I mean, the likelihood is very low, I'm guessing, but
well,
I mean, I don't know for sure, but.
So, I didn't write that part down. That's a drag. So I'll do it from memory. But basically it's a volcano that will have explosions periodically for like between 500 and 2000 years. So it's like, oh, a little explosion, explosion, explosion. Mm. Then it settles down for like 3 to 4,000, 5,000 years. So right now, the last like big explosion was 3,200 years ago.
Oh, jeez.
Stop. I don't know. To me, that's seeming like we're right about up. They were coming up close here, friends.
I mean, it's that. No, no, thanks. Yeah, it's too close.
What I did read was that there was something in the 1700s that talked about an eruption, but I think it was, I don't think it was like an eruption, not like Mount St. Helens blowing, you know, it was more like letting off some steam is my sense based on the fact that it didn't apparently do a ton of damage.
Yeah.
But
cool.
It is made up of, four distinct overlapping cones, which were all formed from four distinct eruptive cycles. So it's not just one peak. It's like four that have happened over time.
I've seen the different cinder cones that are attached.
Yeah. And then it has, I'm going to blow this literally. Oh, maybe let's see if it's in this book. So I use this book for reference. It's called Mount Shasta, California's Mystic Mountain. And it was written by Emily A. Frank. And it was given to me. Oh my God, this podcast is going to be really long because I have a lot to say about this. back in my teens and early 20s, I had this friend and he was like my, we were each other's backup. You know, if we're not married by the time we're 40, we're going to get married kind of thing, right? But we were super into the paranormal. And one of the things we talked about doing was climbing Mount Shasta. And he gave me this book. So I knew about this stuff. What I didn't know when I went there for the first time was how mainstream it was. Because you read this book and it's like, oh, there's like some kooky people that live in that town that have these interesting stories, right? But I didn't realize there were like actually like crystal shops and healing centers. And there's like a vortex adventure center there. Well, they'll take you on like a healing journey. To the vortex, the energy vortex or vortexes. I don't know.
I love it. So you don't know that Emily just did air quotes healing journey. That was really funny.
I know. Like, I don't mean to be an asshole.
Journey.
I do think there's healing property there, but I do also believe, and I'll just be honest, I think sometimes people take advantage of other people. Using things like new age healing. I think it happens.
I mean, we're talking about this in the Sedona episode, just like about just the commercialism that can come up around that.
So that's the deal. Don't get me wrong. I do. Like I said, I think it's a really special place. I think it's really, it has a powerful energy to it for sure. But I think you could go there and go sit by the like Castle Lake or something and get a really amazing healing experience just being there versus paying someone to take you on a healing. I almost air quoted healing journey. Okay. So the other thing I was going to say is that it has, oh my God, now I can't remember what it is, but there's like a vent nearby and Black Butte. So do you know what I'm talking about, Veronica? Have you seen Black Butte?
Yeah.
So it looks like these weird, oh my gosh, I wish I could, I wish that I had a picture of this so I could explain it more. But for all of you listening who might be curious, just Google Black Butte at Mount Shasta and look at it. It's just a very interesting rock formation. And apparently it is like a vent for some of the energy in that volcano. And there are glaciers on top of the volcano. Also, there were for sure four, I think it said four or five. And then this other geologist was saying, actually, there's like eight that are up there.
What?
So this book was written in 1998. So it's a little old. And the author talks about, she lives there near there or there. And she talks about the ever white Shasta because it's always covered in snow.
Yeah.
Until a couple of years ago. Do you remember this when we were right in the middle of like the horrible drought and you looked at Shasta and it was like just the very tippy top was snow. It was like really disturbing. Actually, I was like, this is the beginning of the end. I remember driving up there just being like, no. Now, since then, I think we've gotten a lot more snow, and I haven't been up there this year, but my hunch would be that it is white again.
Oh, for sure, right now.
Well, right now, I mean, there's like some crazy storm happening right now as we speak, where they've like shut down Tahoe and.
And my mom lives in Medford, and they got a lot of snow.
Did they get snow?
And that's, the elevation's way lower than Shasta.
Yeah, so Shasta's probably pretty covered at this point. But anyway, because I went through a couple different sources, I mean, I used this book for a lot of the stories that I'm going to share with you, but then I also looked online and backed up some of those stories. What was really fascinating to me is I found three different heights for this volcano. So the book says 14,162 feet. Okay. I didn't write it down here. I have it in the other room, but I looked up like the National Geological, whatever it is, and NSGS and GSS.
NGS?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think it's NGS.
So it said, I think it was the one that said 14,180 feet. So that's taller, by 18 feet. And then another site said it was 14,179 feet.
So it'll take a couple feet.
Right. So I don't really know how tall Mount Shasta is, but it's one of those or around there. And if you have ever been to a very tall mountain, you may have seen lenticular clouds. Have you seen these? They're those flat.
I think so. They hang flat ones that hang out at the top.
Yeah, it looks like there's like a spaceship up there, right? It's like this flat, weird thing that's around the top of the mountain. And Mount Shasta has a lot of lenticular clouds, and they have led to a lot of lore, right? Even though they are a naturally occurring phenomenon. Go science. People, they look weird. So people speculate about what they mean. So there's been a lot of different stories related to Shasta that aren't just about the healing vortex. There is the story of the Lemurians, of caverns lined with gold, of ringing bells, cities in the center of the mountain.
And, I've heard of that.
Yeah, I'll tell you more about that in a minute. But and then the it's also been said that the lost city of Atlantis, the people who fled from there as it was sinking, ended up inside the mountain.
Whoa.
Right? Did you know that?
Yeah, that's pretty far out.
I know. Also UFOs and our best friend, Bigfoot. Which I totally think Bigfoot lives there, for the record. I am not a skeptic when it comes to Bigfoot.
It's Bigfoot country. It definitely looks like it. All the conifers and
Totally. I mean, that's duh. And there were sightings of Bigfoot. There were two sightings of Bigfoot as recent as 2021. There may have been some more recent ones. Those were the most recent ones I could find that happened at Mount Shasta. So there you go. In case you haven't noticed, I really like Mount Shasta.
It's absolutely beautiful.
It's so beautiful.
Loving all the different lore.
I know. I love all the lore too. And I will say that, having been there for so many years, year after year, I think there was a chunk of like 5 or 6 years that we didn't go. And we went back last year or the year before. We drove through there and we stayed the night and walked around town. And I think the pandemic did it in a little bit, because there were a lot of shuttered shops. It just had a really different feel. The town did not feel like it was thriving in the same way that it did. And if you are living in Mount Shasta City, I hope that things have picked up there for you all. But it was just, I was surprised at the different vibe there. And I hope that that's turning around as time has gone on, because it was, it just shifted. Yeah, totally shifted. Anyway, so I'm going to start with the story of the lost city underground that was found in 1904 by J.C. Brown. He was a British prospect, and he apparently found this rock outside of the mountain that looked different than the other rocks. And so he started kind of pulling foliage away and discovered that as he started pulling stuff out of there, there actually was a cave. The cave was went 11 miles in a downslope into the center of the mountain. And when he got there, he found a city full of like gold things hanging on the walls. And there were skeletons, giant skeletons of an ancient race that were scattered about the floor. Right. It was like, really, I mean, I don't know. That could happen. Who knows? There's like all these dimensions. There's, I don't know. But this is this guy's story. Mm-hmm. So he came back from this journey and he spent the next 30 years of his life, like learning about stuff and it, like about, you know, folklore and legends and, probably some geology, I would guess. But 30 years later, he tried to get together a search party to go back to the mountain. And he got everybody lined up. He was going to hire this boat. And on the day they were all supposed to meet, he never showed. And nobody really knows what happened to him.
Oh, I just got chills.
So I don't know what happened to J.C. Brown, but that's his story. And the story of the lost city. And people have gone looking for this lost city, of course. He never told anybody where it was specifically. He never gave anybody the exact coordinates. So wherever he went after that time in 1934 or whatever, he took that with him. So,
wow.
But I will tell you just as a sidebar after that, many years later, there were these petroglyphs found at Castle Craig.
Mm-hmm.
And there really are petroglyphs there. Have you seen them?
I haven't, but I've heard, and I've been to the castle.
The Castle Craigs, yeah. So there's like the first ones that were found were two hands, a large hand and a smaller hand, thought to represent a woman and a man. There were two serpentine forms, and then upon further looking, they found like a Maltese cross design, an ankh, that Egyptian symbol for eternal life, and several other images were found as more and more of the rock was uncovered. Now, this is in granite, and over time, it is starting to fade and, you know, get eaten away by the elements because it's a pretty elemental area. And when these were made, they also put some type of red dye or something over them to the speculation is that it was to keep anything from growing in it. But all of that is starting to go away too. Nobody knows when they were made or who made them. There's all kinds of stories about it. They're not directly tied to any indigenous tribe that is in the area. And so there is some speculation that our friend, Mr. J.C. Brown, might have put them there as a marker to where the lost city is. The entrance to the lost city. So,
okay.
You know, for all you adventurers out there who want to go on some kind of wild escapade, have fun. I'm not going to be joining you. 11 miles under a mountain sounds terrible to me. That is, I'm gold or not. I'm giant's bones. No, thank you. I can't get with going that far underground into a volcano, no less.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, that sounds like a side vent. Right? But that's my my science brain going like, probably a side vent.
Yeah, I was just thinking that sounds like a bad idea. But anyway, that's just an interesting side note. Let's see what other. There was California Folklore Quarterly in 1945 published a story about the Octavians, who had carved a city into the mountain, into the center of Shasta, using the vibrations of the bells that they crafted, because they are the best bell makers in all of the land. Now, these bells are so spectacular that they are always ringing, always, always. So people say they hear bells ringing around the mountain. They are said to be, the greatest bell makers. And those vibrations have continued to hold these caverns open for their city. So
interesting. So the city's like, is it inside, are they saying? Or
it's carved? Yeah, it's in the mountain. It's carved into the inside of the mountain by the bells, Veronica.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I can't get my mind was wrapped around
clear?
That.
Was I not clear? Was I not clear about how this story went?
This is like beyond mystical to me. It's like
I know
the extra extraordinary.
I couldn't stop. I mean, I had to gather all these stories because seriously, this is, I mean, this place is like shrouded in that vibe of like mystery and sort of that like, wild paranormal stuff.
It does. So, it does have that sense of the extreme, you know.
It does. Like
the people who are drawn to mysticism to times 10, you know.
Yes. Yes, and I will say that having gone on that trip, we used to have a like a evening kind of a potluck up at Bunny Flat, which is sort of at the like up against the base of the mountain, and it would be very, 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 very cold. And sometimes snowing, and we'd all be like hunkered down with our little heaters and our buses and like going from bus to bus and sharing food or standing around the fire or whatever. But when you walk away from everybody, and there's something about being out in the snow. Now, I have never been there out in the dark in the summer, but I imagine it's something else too. But there's something about being out there in the snow in the dark that is very, it has a certain energy to it. And I think anybody who lives in a snowy, more rural area might be able to speak to that as well. It reminds me of being a kid and living in Alaska and just that, like, I don't know. There's something really magic about snow or mystical.
Also feels like the times that I've experienced it is like it dampens all the sounds.
Yes.
Very quiet. Everything seems very quiet.
So then when you do hear sound, it's extra creepy.
Yeah, exactly. It's almost like, why is it so quiet?
Yeah, what's going on? And then like, if you hear the ice cracking or I don't know if anybody's ever heard ice sing. It's an eerie sound as well. So throw that into the mix. Anyway. Let me tell you about the Lemurians.
Oh yeah, please do. Let's hear this.
So when I first heard about the Lemurians, I heard they were another race from another planet. Now, as I started doing more research on this, it looks like they actually are said to be, so one of the theories about Lemurians is that there was a place called Lemuria that was actually here on planet Earth, and that its eastern coast is what we consider to be California today. So back when continents were different. And also that it was somehow connected to Atlantis. So all of that sunk, but some of the coastline stayed and somehow butted up against the rest of North America. And the Lemurians, who fled from the sinking continent, they somehow created a cave in... you know, everybody's making caves. I don't know. This volcano sounds pretty crazy to me. It's a city. But in 1931, the Lemuria, the Lost Continent, was published by, what's his name, Wisher Survey. And it created such a fuss that all these people were sending letters in to the U.S. Forest Service, which the U.S. Forest Service was responding to. And eventually they came out with a report stating that there had never been a sighting of a Lemurian.
Can you imagine being the U.S. Forestry Service and like having your and responding to that? And, you know, 1930s, you're like, handwriting everything and like, this is a big deal, you got to get to the mail, like, oh my goodness.
So do I have the date here? Oh no, I don't. I just have in a publication entitled Mysteries of Mount Shasta, Dr. M. Doriel says that he's the one that talked about the people from Atlantis came to Mount Shasta. Because before the sinking of Atlantis and Lemuria, Atlanteans were already moving into the mountain. So I guess because it's a sacred mountain, they were moving there. And that was said to have happened like 1500 years BC.
Wow.
According to this guy. I don't know who this guy is. But he wrote a book called The Mysteries of Mount Shasta.
There's a lot of lore around this.
That's why I think it's so fascinating, and it makes me really curious about other mountains, right? Because I don't, I mean, this is a mountain I'm familiar with because I've been there so many times, but I'm not super familiar with the lore. I'm not familiar at all with the lore of other mountains. So I'd be really curious to choose another mountain to look at and see what we might learn. All right, buckle your seatbelt. It is believed by many that there are converging rays of cosmic power on Shasta. And because of this, it makes it easier for humans to contact the ascended masters when they are there. And there are multiple people who have come there and who have had these experiences of meeting these ascended masters in corporeal form, is what it sounds like, or they appear in corporeal form. And give them all these messages of like love and healing and all of this that they then turn around and teach others about. So, and that has happened for these people. They have had what they say are these experiences, and it's multiple people who've had these experiences. There's also a Zen Buddhist center. Or there was, at least, I don't know if it's still there, that is at Shasta. And, you know, it is a very quiet and loving place.
So that sounds lovely.
I know, right? So it pulls all kinds of energies. UFOs have been seen at Shasta. There have been reports that they have come out of the mountain. Shockingly. But more than that, there have just been a lot of reports of lights being seen in the sky and strange objects moving through the sky. So as we mentioned in Sedona, I said, you know, we're going to talk about how all these vortexes have some type of UFO sighting situation going on. So they definitely have UFO sightings. One source I was reading was talking about how in the 80s, the 1980s, there seemed to be less sightings being reported. I'm guessing they have come up since then in the 90s, but in 2000s, because we're not in the 90s anymore, even though I still am.
That's interesting. But I wonder if skepticism was more, I don't know.
Maybe people's focus was in a different place. The X-Files hadn't come out yet. I don't know. But well, but there were a lot of sightings, you know, just in general, prior to the 80s, there were a lot of sightings. So I don't know. But just a curious thing. So that's all my things. That might be all the things I have to say about Mount Shasta.
Wow, that's a lot of things. Yeah, my head is spinning and I'm like, there's cities in all different places. There's a whole, like several different kinds of people that might live there.
Hey, you know, if we wanted to take this to like a quantum physics level, which we could just for a minute, there really are multiple dimensions, right? Or that's the idea. And if there are multiple dimensions, a place like a volcano seems like a really good portal. I mean, that's a lot of energy that's moving through the earth in that place. So maybe in a different reality, all these things do exist. I don't know. Yeah. You know, I said a lot of those stories kind of tongue in cheek, but they're real stories that have made it out into the world. And folklore exists for a reason, to make sense usually of the unexplainable.
Which is like, maybe it's something that's real and maybe it's something that explains something else, or you just don't know.
Right. We don't know.
Yeah. Fascinating.
Yeah. So everyone, visit Mount Shasta City. Go check out the mountain. You can hike it. Not to the peak. I don't think there's like actual trails that take you up to the summit of it. But there is some hiking you can do up there, and there are some really sweet lakes, and it's a beautiful place.
It's beautiful. Yeah.
And if you've ever driven on the 5, heading up, you know, to Oregon or coming back from Oregon into California, you've seen it. I mean, it's not something you miss. It's right there.
It is a big volcano. Yeah. It's beautiful. So, thank you, Emily, for sharing that. Like, it's a place that I've seen many times and passed by, and it has me even more curious about just like maybe spending some time next to the mountain.
You know?
So just driving through, just and then hiking around and just seeing what I
see. Yeah, what you see when you see Bigfoot.
And what I feel. Because I feel it feels different. Now, whether that's like, you know, it's energy, it's all, you know, it's all everything. Like it's the physical, it's the, you know, emotional, it's the, so it's could be like all of this coming together to give that place a really special vibe.
Yeah. Well, and I think also just, you know, coming back to this idea of a volcano being a place where there's a lot of energy, even when it's not erupting, there's all this energy happening beneath the surface, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it is an active volcano. So when you think about that and you think about putting your feet on land where that exists, I mean, it's going to have a different vibration if you have any sensitivity to the world around you.
Yeah.
Now, I've never been to Hawaii, but I would imagine that going and walking on some of those volcanoes there has probably a similar but different vibe, but you can feel the energy of the place.
Yeah, it's different. It's really different.
Yeah. Have you been to Hawaii?
I've been to Maui.
Okay. Are there volcanoes on Maui? Yeah.
I don't think they're active. Maybe there is.
I don't know.
Yeah, a lot of volcanic activity.
I know there's a lot there. And I mean, I know that's how the islands were formed, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I say that. I know this, right? Do I know this? I don't know. I feel like I learned that somewhere. but it's a place I'd love to visit just for that experience.
Yeah. I'd love to see all the active ones that are literal. Like you see them erupt. You can see the lava flowing.
Yeah, you see the lava flowing.
I've never seen that before. That would be amazing.
Not in real life.
Yeah.
I'm just on a sidebar here. And have you been to the Petrified Forest that's here? And did you read all the stuff about all the, like some of those trees that are there that are petrified are an ancient species of redwood that is now extinct. And they were all blown over when Mount St. Helena erupted like 1 million years ago or something. It was like some stupid amount of time ago. That I can't even wrap my brain around. Totally fascinating. But just this idea that, you know, even though Mount St. Helena is not right next to that area, the blow was that big when it erupted, that the lava and the ash and everything else came into that area and it petrified this forest that you can go see parts of. So
that's, so cool.
Which, by the way, the Petrified Forest is for sale. So if anybody wants to buy a Petrified Forest for like some millions kinds of dollars.
Calistoga, California.
Yeah, you can own a piece of volcanic history.
Crazy. It is privately owned and they are selling it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird. It is weird. Yeah. I would totally buy it if I had that.
Feels
kind
like
of money.
The Parks Department should take it over, but.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Anyways. I just went off and,
I know. Sidebar. Just a sidebar. Just, you know.
Let's come back. Cool thing. We'll come back from our trip.
Yeah. Let's put our clothes back in our suitcase. Step away from the active volcano. Wave goodbye to Bigfoot and the Lemurians. Make your way back to your space in the room that you're in, or the car that you're in, or the world that you're in. Thanks for going on this journey with us today.
Thank you, everyone.
We appreciate you. And just a couple little things here. If you want to support the work that we're doing, please like, share, subscribe, rate our podcast on whatever platform you're on. Do the thing that they ask you to do, because it helps people find us. And then we can share our love and our journeys all over the place. All kinds of
with
folks.
Everyone.
With everyone. We can all hang out together. Virtually.
and physically.
Oh, right. Well, so also, as we've been talking about, we are having a retreat this summer. So we are inviting you to come and join us in 2024 in Sonoma County. And we will be camping together under the stars. And if you're not a camper, it's okay. You can rent a hotel room and just come and hang out with us during the day and evening. I will feed you. We will do some ritual together. Veronica's going to lead us through some yoga. We're going to connect with the land. It's going to be basically awesome. So we hope to see you there. You can find all the details about it at wisewomanwitchery.com, along with all the details of the other offerings going on. We've got a conference coming up. There's class next week. It's just all kinds of stuff is happening. There's always something happening awesome. Around here. Something magical, witchy, goodness. Yeah. So until next time,
keep it magical.
Thank you for joining us on The Witch Next Door. Join us next week as we explore more ways to make every day more magical. Can't wait? Visit wisewomanwitchery.com or follow Wise Woman Witchery on Facebook and Instagram to stay up to date on all current offerings and be a part of the tribe. All episodes are created by Emily Morrison and Veronica Wade Lewis. Music written and performed by Jean Cornelius.